Brian Hodgen has quickly become a prolific developer of configuration files for JAWS, WindowEyes, and most recently for HAL. He's introduced a configuration file service, and he's on the line to tell us about this new development. Brian, welcome back to the program. Your configuration service, this is a bit of a departure from your giving away of sets and script files. What's going on with that?
Okay. Well, last year I started, as you know, producing set files for WindowEyes. That was where it all started, really. And I started by producing set files for SoundForge, and then once I'd got that to really quite a high level of access, I think, I started developing them for additional applications and also adapting some of the existing set files which are already out there, for example, Microsoft Word. Then I actually got on to JAWS scripting. That was a bit later on in the year. And I started with adapting the already very powerful access that JFW provides to Microsoft Word, but I incorporated quite a few unique features, I think, which have made life a lot easier for people. So that's where we were, and obviously, while I was developing the knowledge, I didn't really want to start selling anything where there might be flaws in any product sort of during my learning process, if you understand me. So I think really this year, now that we've got the ability to create HAL version 5 map files as well, we've got the three of them now all running together. And what I'd like to do really is to start charging for a little bit of this service. It's not going to be a huge charge, but part of the proceeds of that will go towards purchasing software to develop applications, so people will be able to request applications for files to be developed.
How long does it take to develop set files and script files and map files?
Well, it's quite a long process, it really is. Obviously, it all depends upon the nature of the application. I mean, SoundForge is an example. I mean, it's always an ongoing process, and I'll talk in a moment about some more developments that I've actually done to that. So it's always ongoing. I think the thing to bear in mind is that I don't have any site at all, so really what I need to do is first of all examine what is going on as far as the screen is. Layout all the time is concerned, and obviously once the files have been created, they've got to be tested because they've got to be tested thoroughly to minimise all the technical support queries. I mean, there are bound to be some, and there are, but if I can do a significant amount of testing first, then that helps. So, I mean, it is literally hours and hours of work that goes into producing these things.
How often do you find that it's the case that a script or a set file or a map file works perfectly well on your machine, and yet when you do the release, you find that it's not working on a number of other machines, and it's difficult to pinpoint why that is?
Well, yeah, that does often happen, particularly if I can say with WindowEyes, because there is a problem there, because things need to be in exactly the same place on the screen, and although I might have, for example, my screen resolution set to 800 by 600, for example, the other person using the set files may have that screen resolution. However, they may have one extra toolbar selected, and that can throw the whole thing out. So it's particularly time-consuming as well to try and identify, you know, where that person may have changed the layout of the screen. The other screen readers, it's not quite as imperative to have the screen exactly the same, because you can use other detection methods for finding the component of the application that you actually want.
Can you explain to us then how the configuration for our service works and how much you're going to charge for that?
Absolutely. Well, The actual configuration file service was actually launched in February, although I did put up some configuration files to get the thing started in late January. For example, we have some SoundForge set files, some improvements to that. We've got some HAL map files up there, and there'll be some JAWS scripts on the site very shortly. Basically, a subscriber would pay 30 UK pounds, that's 45 US dollars, and for that they'd be entitled to receive a year's set of files, if you like. Each subscriber gets put onto a mailing list, so they get notified as to when new files become available and when updates become available and so on and so forth. Then they have the option of either going and downloading the files from the web. Everyone is allocated a username and password, so it's reasonably protected as far as it can be. Then they can just go and grab the files, and they can do that as often as they want for the period of the year's subscription. That's how it works.
Are you doing what a number of the commercial JAWS script developers are doing and tying the scripts to people's serial numbers?
No, I'm not. For the simple reason that you can't actually do it with the other screen readers. Now, what I can do with JAWS is I can actually protect my work to a certain extent whereby I can not let people see the original source code for the scripts. People who are familiar with JAWS scripts will know that there's a .jss file with every series of script files. Now, I don't include all of that in my scripts, so that I can actually not let everybody else pirate my ideas, if you like. But I'm not actually protecting the work by tying it to the JAWS serial number, because you won't be able to do that with the other files. So what I'm making it very clear with every set of documentation that you get with each set of files is I'm just saying, you know, that these files do take time to create. Please don't pass them on, because it's not fair. You've paid for them, so if you can respect the work, then that's really great, and the more subscribers we have, the more chance there is that applications will have configuration files written for them.
So can we talk about some of the configuration files that are available, and maybe we could start with the first one that you did publicly anyway, which was the SoundForge sets for WindowEyes.
Yeah.
You were saying that there are further developments in that area.
That's right. I mean, obviously there are scripts as well for JAWS for Windows, and the initial idea behind me producing the set files for SoundForge was to bring it up to a level so that JAWS and WindowEyes users were on a par with each other in terms of functionality. I did that except to a point. I was able to incorporate an audio scanning feature into SoundForge and with WindowEyes, so that you can actually skim forward and backwards through the audio and hear it a little like a CD player, and it makes for very precise editing of the audio sound. The problem with it was that you had to go into a special mode all the time. Okay, so what you had to do was either press F8 or Control and F8 to start scanning away with the audio, and then you had to come out of that if you wanted to hear, for example, where the cursor position was in the file, or how much sound you'd selected. And this was a bit cumbersome, really. So the major development is that the two modes are integrated now. Okay, so you don't actually have to come in and out of a separate mode all the time. For example, if you want to scan away and then you pause the file, you're able to get all the speech that you really need, all the pertinent information. You're able to check the levels. You're able to determine the cursor position, all those kinds of things. It doesn't restrict you anymore. So you really are, if you're a WindowEyes user, you really are in a par with JAWS users now.
And is that part of the configuration service, or are they freely available?
No, that's part of the configuration service. So if you really wanted that access, all the files that I've done before, they're still up there. So you can still download them and enjoy them. There's no problem there. They're going to stay there. But that particular development will be part of this service.
Right. So are those sets available now?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
If you pay. Right.
Yeah.
Hand over the dosh. Now,
yes, it.
All right. What other particular configuration files would you like to highlight that you think are worthy of note?
Well, I think that for HAL users particularly, I know we talked about HAL for Windows on main menu last week, and I think this is I've concentrated a little bit on this because really HAL users, with the best will in the world, they haven't got anything really at the moment in terms of good configuration. So they've got the very basic maps, which are thrown in with the product as standard. But what I've done is I started with Microsoft Word, and I've got some quite good Word access up there now as a configuration file for HAL users. I mean, for example, you're able to determine what the page, line, and column number is with a press of a keystroke. And you're able to tell quickly whether something is in bold, italics, or underline. Quite simple things, but things which you haven't had rapid access to. And the other major thing which I incorporated was something for the spell checker. So when you enter the spell checker with F7 in Word, using HAL, you weren't able to hear relevant information, really, such as what the word is that's incorrectly spelled and hear it spelled like you can with other screen readers. So that's what I've actually incorporated now, so that HAL users have that. So that's the Word map file. Outlook Express has been a particular problem with HAL version 5 of late. So while what I've created isn't perfect, it's certainly much better than what people have had before, even in the early days of version 5. We've got keystrokes, for example, to tell you the name of the sender of the message once you're actually in the body of it, because some people like to re-refer to that, what the date was that the message came in and so on and so forth, what the subject was. We've got a keystroke which will take you into the attachments list. So if you want to quickly get to that other screen reader, certainly JAWS has that ability as well. But what I've tried to do with these map files is to make them a bit tidy. Okay, so if you are, for example, in the list view of messages, or if you're in a message that doesn't have an attachment, and you press this keystroke, it won't go ahead and look for the attachment. Obviously, it will recognize that there's no attachment to the message, and it will say there is no attachment to this message or something like that. Again, with the keystroke that I just described, which gives you the author and the date and so on. If you're in the list view of messages and you're not focused on any particular message, you press that keystroke, it will say you are in the list view of messages and not in the body, etc. So I've tried to make them as tidy as it's possible to be. And then there's finally at the moment there's the SoundForge map file for HAL for Windows, which is just about finished.
Is that going to offer the same sort of functionality as your sets for Window Eyes?
Yeah, oh yes, it will.
So the audio scanning feature will be there.
Yeah, it's got that in, and it's got. In fact, it's a little bit better in some respects than the Window Eyes set files, in the sense that, for example, when you press F2 in Window Eyes, obviously, for example, that gives the cursor position. Where Window Eyes is concerned, I'm only able to get it to say, for example, 00:00:02. for 2 seconds into the file. With HAL, we can do clever things like make it say 0 hours, 2 minutes, and 59.365 seconds, that kind of thing. And again, with selection information, we're able to get it to say things like 0 hours, 3 minutes, and 50 seconds through to 0 hours, 5 minutes, 25 seconds, duration, whatever. So again, it's all a little bit more tidy, and it's a little bit easier, I think, for particularly new users to SoundForge to understand.
Having developed configuration files for 3 screen readers, which one do you prefer working with and why?
Well, I think I'll always enjoy working with window eyes, really, because it's very easy to be able to configure that. And certainly when I'm looking at an application for the first time, I'll look at it with window eyes. Mainly because, for example, it's important to get as much information about the screen layout as possible. So when I'm using the mouse pointer, particularly when I'm arrowing down the screen, I can focus on a tool, one of the graphical icons, for example, and it may not be labeled, but it may have a tooltip associated with it, so that when you leave the mouse pointer there, it will actually give me a brief description as to what that item is meant to do. And that is the whole secret, really, behind the audio scanning feature. It's nothing exciting, Jonathan, that happens there with the window eye set files. It's just a graphic that is clicked every so often, every time a keystroke is activated. And that is how I found it. It was actually a tooltip that gave me that information. So JAWS doesn't actually seem to read those.
No, it doesn't see it. It doesn't seem to see that graphic. Yeah,
That's right. So it doesn't give you quite that information. So the window eyes is a much better screen reader, I think, for actually assessing what should be happening with the application.
Right. One question that a number of people who are listening to this are probably asking is that you're developing actively for three different screen readers, and most people, although they would like to have perhaps two, only have one. How can they be sure that if they hand over their £30 that you will be paying as much attention to their screen reader as you are to the other screen readers you're working with?
Well, I've tried to be as vigilant as possible, and obviously try to devote an equal amount of time to all three products, really. I think that my performance over the last year, I hope, has demonstrated a commitment to each of the products. Now, granted, obviously, I haven't been investing so much time in JAWS scripting because I had to get to grips with the scripting language. But I think the energy that I actually put into the set files or the configuration files sort of speaks for themselves, really, and the amount of comment that I actually get back for the ideas it sort of pays tribute to that, and I'm glad to say. For example, the JAWS scripts, where I've actually introduced a block feature, so you can actually, in Microsoft Word, so you can mark the beginning of the text and then actually move to the to another point in the text and then delete a block of it without actually using Windows selection keys. People are finding that so helpful. The ideas for the scripts and the other configuration files just come to me. So I think that sort of overall, over the course of a year, it should all sort of pan out and people will get an equal amount of attention to their individual screen reader.
I was going to ask you about the block feature. Is there a way of including that in the JAWS default script so that that's available to other applications besides Word?
I don't actually think so at the moment, because it actually does use part of Word's functionality. But there is a way, actually, quite easily, of getting JAWS to block an item, like you've described, in all applications, but you are restricted to the current screen. And I think there were some scripts, actually, which went down this route that was developed a few years ago.
They were Jamal's Homer scripts.
That's right, yeah. And they're still available, actually, although I don't know that they actually work with later versions of JAWS. But they were quite an interesting source of reference.
Yeah.
And I did a bit of research into this and downloaded them just to have a look at them. So you could do it with that set of scripts, but really, I wanted it to, for the Word scripts, I wanted it to be a bit, I didn't want you to be quite as restricted as that, so which is why I developed them. But certainly, it should be possible to implement that functionality of restricting you to the current screen in just about any application you want.
Good stuff. And if people would like to find out more about your configuration service, where do they go?
The best thing to do, really, is because obviously everyone listening to Main Menu, presumably, are web literate. You can go to the website, which is www.hartgen.org, or you can just drop me an email to Brian, B-R-I-A-N, at Hartgen, spelled as before, .org.
Well, it sounds like there will be some interesting goodies coming up and already available, and appreciate you coming on the show and telling us about them.
Well, thanks very much for having me on the program yet again.